Taggart developed an alarming case of palsy. Beads of sweat as big as buttons gleamed on his forehead, broke, and cascaded in torrents down his face. Everything except the tip of his nose went gray. His nose turned lavender. His eyeballs jiggled up and down, matching the vibration tempo of his Adam's apple. Chinook flipped his peacemaker out of his holster, tossed it up in a spin, caught it cocked. But the neatness of the pinwheel was lost upon Taggart. He only saw that the gun's muzzle was suddenly increased to the size of a Sioux shield. Taggart tried to protest. He dropped to his knees and whined. He groveled and whimpered. Chinook began to count slowly. As Taggart did not know what number Chinook was trying to arrive at before he shot, he yelped in terror, flung into his outer office, shoved his face outside the front door, and spotted a passing Kendall gunman.
Send Kendall over here a second.
The gunman went away. Taggart crept back for the envelope and the injunction. Chinook handed it out, closed the door, and knelt at the keyhole. Kendall came in a few minutes. He was thick and tipsy with rotgut whiskey. Kendall missed Taggart's pallor, or possibly attributed it to the terror of the Kendall name.
"What the hell's eating you, moss face?"
said Kendall.
I got a letter I've been meaning to give you,"
wailed Taggart, quickly thrusting the paper into Kendall's hand as though it was on fire. Kendall grunted and opened it. He read it three times, and then, gradually, its contents began to sink in.
"Oh, God damn you for a blundering fool!"
volleyed Kendall, wide nostrils quivering, black teeth biting off the tails of the words.
"What in the name of..."
It was all unquotable. It treated Taggart's family tree from its inception, followed through several score generations, caught up with Taggart's personal appearance, filthy habits, general demeanor, and went on to revile Taggart's posterity. Rage dulled Kendall's wits. Otherwise, he might have guessed what lay on the other side of that door. He did not. He put a comma to his phrases by tearing the injunction into small pieces, one at a time, and hurling them into Taggart's face. With the injunction gone, Kendall promised lengthy vengeance, slow torture, expressed a wish to minutely examine Taggart's abdomen with a sharp knife, and finally went away still roaring, having knocked Taggart and Taggart's desk into a hash of bruises and splinters. Taggart closed the door, limped into the back room, moaning and whining. Chinook solemnly thanked him, and then, just as solemnly, said,
"And now about a star."
"A star?"
whispered Taggart, too weak from shock to talk out loud.
"Sure. You got authority to swear in deputies. You're swearing me in as a deputy sheriff right now."
"It won't do you any good,"
gulped Taggart.
You'll be dead before morning. You heard what he said? I'll be dead, and you'll be dead. Oh, why did you ever have to come into this country?"
"The star,"
insisted Chinook. Taggart's resistance was gone. Protesting only with great feebleness, he fished a rusty badge out of his dresser, limply handed it to Chinook, muttered some words which Chinook took to be an administered oath, and then, with terrific suddenness, Taggart collapsed in a chair and fumbled blindly for a whiskey bottle.
"Thanks again, Sheriff. I knew my grandfather's choice would know how to do his duty like a man."
You think so?"
gasped Taggart, surprised.
"I do. See you at the funeral."
What funeral?"
"I don't know just yet, but I'll see you there. Good night."
Thank you.